beautiful special. I really appreciate that. May we always take the opportunity to sing praises unto the Lord. And we're going to go ahead and get started with this evening service. I'd like to greet all those that are live streaming. And it never amazes me that my brother here is willing to serve, willing to preach, willing to go above and beyond those things which are the expectations of the calling in which he was called to. And so I know that for a fact because, you know, I talked to my brother over the weekend, or was it the weekend before, and I asked him if, you know, he was willing to serve as assistant pastor for this upcoming year. And he told me that he's all in, not just for the year, but he's always all in. And, you know, I can understand that there are times when some of us need a break, but he is always there and willing to do things and go above and beyond the call of duty for the Lord. So I really do look up to him in more ways than one. You know, he is 6'5", and so I look up to him that way too. I guess he's my big little brother-in-law, but I do appreciate the way that the Lord has worked with him in his life and all the experiences that he has been through and all the people that he has reached out to. I know he is quite the character. You put me and him together in a room and it kind of probably lead to good things in a bad way or bad things in a good way. I guess that's for other people to decide, but I truly love to serve with him and to serve our Lord together, because he does make it very entertaining. And even tonight he was getting me to laugh before I was going to read the announcements. But, you know, that's who he is, and that's who he always will be, and I do appreciate that. So I'm just going to go sit down and be quiet now and listen to our brother preach. So I'm going to hand him over the pulpit and give you our brother and elder Adam Yates.
I love it. Good evening. Good evening. I don't have any option in my life but to be all in for the Lord. I felt real strongly lately, you know, and I thought, well, stand up and share a testimony. I was talking to Rebecca about it. I don't even know what I would say. I have nothing if not for the Lord. I don't have any other option. There's no place I could go. The troubles and things in my life and the difficulties, you know, I thought about it once, and I probably shared this maybe once, as you know, one day I was sitting there thinking about what all were the options that I could do with the struggles and things in my life. You know, where could I go? I could walk away from everything. I could start new. I could do, you know, there's all these things that theoretically I could do, and this understanding on me that if I don't have the Lord, if I don't have this group of people, if I don't have the gospel, I have absolutely nothing. I feel that so strongly, and I can't, even in saying that, I can't even say what I feel about that, that I am wonderfully blessed. I obviously, you can see up here on my PowerPoint that I have a message I want to bring tonight, and I've titled it The Mystery of Prayer. And I don't know if you are at all like me, that in so many ways, no matter how many experiences I have, no matter how long I've been in the gospel, no matter what, this concept and this matter of prayer is still mysterious to me. I know the mechanics of it, I understand all of that, but it still is somewhat of a mystery to me. And I've come to places in my life where I've come to different understandings of my relationship with the Lord and what it is to communicate with Him, and yet it's still a mystery. And as I was considering that this week, I had some thoughts on my heart. And, you know, at the end of this, you know, my last slide, I couldn't put anything in here, but I wish I had a good answer for you. How does this whole matter of prayer and all that, how does it work? What is the recipe and the equation to make it? I don't have it. But I do know that we serve a faithful God. I want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about this matter of prayer, something I hope that you are actively engaged in. something that I hope you don't take for granted, something that I hope, this is perhaps one of those things that is the most common, probably the most common things as we talk about religion and we talk about the gospel and all of those things, you know, is prayer. And it can become so common that we don't think about it. All of us have been there. We're probably like that. We've talked about it. You've heard it preached. You know, that it's something that we take for granted. Mentioned in the Scripture, in the Bible and Book of Mormon, 721 times. Of course, not every mention of there. Sometimes they make a statement like, as they're talking to somebody, I pray that you would do this for me, they're asking. But, you know, it's clearly something that is an important thing that the Lord wanted to convey to us, because it's how we have this opportunity to interact with God. And probably one of the more difficult interactions, because a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of time, it's seemingly one-sided, in that I've been very few times in my life where I've had a conversation with the Lord in prayer when He actually answered me back. But there is interaction with the Lord, isn't there? You know, I found myself in these times in life where there's a song that I've sang several times. This is, where could I go but to the Lord? Where there was no peace or anything to be found in anything or anyone, not in my wife, not in my children, any of you. There's nothing that could be found, no peace, until I put my heart before the Lord in prayer. And while nothing changed, everything changed within me. This is important. It's something that we should not take lightly. We recognize that we serve a God. You know, Aaron read the Scripture tonight as he began our song service. You know, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if we go backwards, you know, Christ is telling the people, He says, there's all these things that you need. And He says, I know that you need them. And yet, we're still encouraged and directed and commanded to talk to the Lord about these things, even though He already knows it. It's mystery. Why? I hope we consider those things. You know, here you see it. Take no thought. Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need all these things. He already knows it, and yet we find through prayer over and over and over again. I didn't put all of the phenomenal encouragements in Scripture that are there, that there's nothing that we are not supposed to put before the Lord. Everything matters. Nothing too small. You know, this afternoon, my brother and I, we administered to a young man who had a discomfort in his shoulder. Probably not going to kill him. His arm's probably not going to fall off. But it was important to the Lord. He had a need. And the Lord knew what his need was. But we came to the Lord in prayer on His behalf. How does prayer work? Who really knows? Anybody tell me how it works? I know. We pray, we lift up our heart and our voice, we pray to the Father in the name of Christ, and we know that, but how does it work? What is it? You know? Does the words that even are formed, the thoughts that are formed into words in my mind, is that sufficient? You know, how does the Lord know all these things? This thing in my life. I've sat and I've thought about this before. How does this work? How does it work that we're commanded to pray for each other? And what is it that my prayer matters to our brother who is in the hospital right now? Why is it that me petitioning the Lord for him even matters? I don't know. But I know that it works. And sometimes I think that we can't, you know, we struggle with the fact that we can't understand the way the Lord is, and yet He doesn't ask us to understand. He commands us to, right? We're commanded to pray in the name of Christ, and we know this. John chapter 14, Verses 13 and 14. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But how does prayer work? We've asked all sorts of stuff in the name of Christ, and it hasn't been done. There's a mystery there. But we know that oftentimes we offer up prayers and it is answered. You know, and I don't know that we're going to come to a conclusion here, but I do have something I want us to remember that I want to draw us to in the end here. But I don't know if you're like me that you think about these things. 3 Nephi chapter 8, 51 and 52, Christ says, Satan desires to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Therefore you must pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. You know, we're commanded to do this, that we lift up these things in the name of Christ in prayer, in this conversation with the Lord. We're commanded that we should come in faith. James 1 and 6 says, you know, before that it says, if we lack wisdom, if there's something that we need, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You know, that's an interesting statement there, and something that's probably worth more consideration than we may give it when we begin to pray. What does it mean to ask in faith, nothing wavering? I've kind of changed the way that I've prayed a little bit, and I don't know that I'm right or that I'm wrong, but you know, I think about this oftentimes when I pray. I think about it when I am called to administer to somebody, is that, you know, I believe, and we'll look in here, that, you know, we have a right to ask for something. But I've found myself less and less desirous to pray in absolutes, because I recognize that my knowledge and my understanding is so minimal. You know, my wisdom, you know, was to pray that my mother-in-law would be healed. And so I found that I do that less and less, but I ask for the Lord, I put my request before Him, and then I acknowledge that, you know, I just don't know, Lord. I don't understand it. But I wonder sometimes, you know, am I always asking in faith? What does it mean to waver, to go back and forth? You know, I don't know. But I think it's important that when we kneel down to pray, that we consider all of our attitude, all of our heart, when we are approaching the Father. You know, when we offer up this prayer, we have this active communication with the Creator of all things, the giver of all wisdom, the director of lives, the one who is able to touch and to move. And I think sometimes, you know, we do it casually. This isn't where I wanted to get into this, but I'll tell you, you know, I struggle when we call for a season of prayer and people get up and walk out. We got to go to the bathroom, get a drink, I understand that. But you know, this is something that is so essentially important. Are we considering what it is that we do? Moroni 7 and 26, assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, whatsoever thing you shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. We're told in Moroni chapter 7, verse 8, says that we're supposed to pray with real intent. Jim and I and Kim were talking about this today. It says, likewise, it's counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, it profiteth him nothing. What does that mean? Do we consider that? You know, I think about that sometimes when I offer up a prayer. And I've done this several times where I've offered up a prayer and I finish it and I think, what did I just do? Was I thinking about what I prayed about? Was I truly thanking the Lord for this meal that He put in front of me? You know, was the real intent of my heart to offer up something unto the Lord, or was I simply just thinking or saying words? We're commanded to pray with real intent. So, you know, as we begin to look at this mystery of prayer and how it works and all that, we begin to see that there are some things which can inhibit our prayer. Wavering, not real intent. You know, what does that mean? I don't know. I remember this this time that this one time there was a testimony that Brother Rollins shared about administration, and you know, I don't want to get it wrong, and I hope I don't, but it seemed as though he was asked to administer to someone, and the cause seemed to be hopeless. And he was told that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's hopeless, you must pray in faith. The intent of your heart has to be to petition the Lord, not with what you see. You know, you pray in faith with real intent. And I think about that, you know, I'm convicted by that. Is that what I do in my closet? Is that what I do in my family? Is that what I do before I go to sleep and I offer my prayer? You know, consider these things. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, we're commanded to pray without ceasing. It's an interesting thing. What does that mean? We're supposed to always be praying? You know, is this a continual thing that we do all day? Sometimes it is. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, he says, you know, after he talks about all these things, and he talks about taking the armor of God and all that, and he tells them, you know, you pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He says, you know, that this is part of the battle that you're in. You put on the armor of God, and then as you're engaged in the battle, you are in supplication in the Spirit. You know, I've had those times where I have truly been, for lack of a better word, dialed in my prayer, where I haven't thought about the words they were given to me. And I think it's probably those times where I was supplicating, praying in the Spirit. And we see that in the Book of Mormon where it says that the people, they were given what to pray. How do we get there? You know, I'm not sure. Is it important? Absolutely. That we consider the seriousness and the benefit of this conversation and this interaction and this intimate relationship we can have with the Lord who sees and knows all of those things. We see that our prayer should be made with thanksgiving, even if we are asking for a need. Philippians 4 and 6 says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I think that's interesting because how many times has it been where we have had a need or we have had something going on in our life or others, and we lift up our hearts in prayer, and it's just, there's something that needs to be accomplished here, Lord. And we forget this part that's important here, that we do it with thanksgiving, even when we're making our requests. That we remember that in the end, everything that we're given is a gift from the Lord, and we should be thankful for it. And in places in Scripture, it even says that we should be thankful for our trials. You know, are we doing this? You know, all these things come into effect as we consider these conversations we get to have with the Lord, petitioning Him for strength and for encouragement and for direction and for other people and all those things. You know, is this our attitude? Are we considering that? What do we pray for? I'm not going to hit all the Scriptures here, but we pray for, we know in Alma, it says that we pray for our wives and children that they may be blessed. And Christ says the same thing in 3 Nephi chapter 8. We're supposed to pray for those who are in the church. You know, there's all these places where it says that we lift up our brothers and sisters there. Those who are sick, physically and spiritually, you know, that we petition the Lord on behalf of all of those who stand in need. And you know, the promise is that the Lord hears and that He will bless. We're supposed to pray against temptations, against sin. We're supposed to pray against Satan. All of these things. You know, in your prayer every day when you get up, you go interact with work, you go to school and all those things, are you praying with real intent that the Lord will prepare you for whatever challenge you're going to face today? I found that, you know, while my life has changed and I'm not interacting with the world like I used to and with coworkers and all of the things and language and mindsets and all that stuff that was once a struggle for me, you know, now as I go out and I'm building things in my shop for clients and stuff like that, I am still in a battle, a much different one. And it's the battle that goes on in my mind, which is far more difficult. It's far more difficult. And so I find that this is something that I've focused on and I've really asked, you know, Lord, you have to help me here because I just cannot overcome these temptations, this sin, these things that come in. We pray for charity. It says that we're supposed to pray with all the energy of our heart for charity. What does that mean? What's all the energy of your heart? But we're commanded to do these things. Pray for wisdom. So we understand what it is that we do with the knowledge that we have. We ask for more knowledge, more understanding. We pray for wisdom because we don't know. Pray for the Holy Ghost. So we offer that up before someone receives the reception of the Holy Ghost. We should be praying that the Spirit is working in us. We offer a prayer over the sacrament and we ask that the Lord would accept of us that as we do this thing, that His Spirit would be with us in more power, that it would be present with us, that we could hear it, and that we could be directed. Do you consider that when we kneel down and we pray over the sacrament? Do you think about it that we're asking the Lord to recognize our actions and offer up in return a gift? It's a serious thing. It's an important thing. And Alma 16 chapter says that we're supposed to cry on the Lord for mercy because we don't deserve what He gives us. We don't deserve what we're given from Him. We deserve far worse. What our true earnings of our life and of our mistakes and all that, you know, what we truly have earned and what we deserve is not what the Lord gives us. But we're supposed to cry out for mercy, to ask for Him to intervene and to be merciful and to be patient on our behalf. Are you praying that as you get to interact with this world that the Lord will give you the ability to speak and give you utterance? In Ephesians in the 6th chapter, and it's the, I think, the 20th verse, that the Apostle Paul says that. He asks the Ephesians, he says, pray for me that I will have utterance, that I could speak and be an ambassador for Christ as I ought to be. Pray for the flocks of our field, those things that we do. You know, my job is not what it used to be, and now as I have opportunity from time to time to build things for clients and things like that, you know, I'm praying that I could do a good job, that I could put together a good product. I pray for simple things sometimes. You know, I've given many testimonies about, you know, my old dog. I pray for that. That little thing the Lord heard. They put in my life for a purpose. We feel silly about that sort of thing sometimes, but you know, the Lord, He knows. When we take this opportunity to lift up our voice and our prayer in each of these things, and the Lord begins to work and move with our wives and our children and those in the church and those who are without and the sick, physically and spiritually and all those things, we find ourselves unraveling a little bit this mystery of prayer. Even tonight, something that I've been praying for, the Lord has answered. We begin to understand a little bit more that we have a Lord who hears us and He is doing all He can to work and move within our life. I want to think for a second, you know, what is it that the Savior did? Only two scriptures I have that you're going to need to turn to. 3 Nephi chapter 8. I just didn't want to put them all on the PowerPoints here. 3 Nephi chapter 8. You know, Christ is here and he's among the people. And He's going to do something here. And I'm going to read 15 through 20. It says, it came to pass Well, I'll start in 14. Came to pass that when they had all been brought, and as the children, that Jesus stood in the midst, and he commanded the multitude that they should kneel down upon the ground. And it came to pass that when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself, and saith, Father, I'm troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. And when he said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth, and behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did bear record which heard him. And after this manner do they bear record. The eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before, so great and marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray unto us for the Father. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made the end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. Before I give comment, we'll just turn over one chapter. 3 Nephi chapter 9. I'm probably not going to read all of this, 17 through 34, but you can. It says, it came to pass that he spake unto the multitude and commanded them that they should kneel down again upon the earth, and that also his disciples should kneel upon the earth. And it came to pass that they all knelt down upon the earth, and he commanded his disciples that they should pray. And they began to pray, and they did call unto Jesus, they did pray unto Jesus, calling him their Lord and their God. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them, and went a little way off from them, and bowed himself to the earth, and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it's because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. And I pray thee that thou will give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. I'm going to jump down and probably go to verse 28. He turned from them again and went a little way off and bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed unto the Father, again unto the Father, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast purified these which I have chosen because of their faith, and I pray for them, and also for them which shall believe on their words, that they may be purified in me through faith on their words, even as they are purified in me. Father, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world because of their faith, that they may be purified in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one, that I may be glorified in them. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he came again to his disciples. Behold, they did pray steadfastly without ceasing unto him, and he did smile upon them again, for they were white even as Jesus. And it came to pass that he went a little way off and prayed unto the Father. And the tongue cannot speak the words which he prayed, neither can be written by man the words which he prayed. And the multitude did hear and do bear record, and their hearts were open, and they did understand in their hearts the words which he prayed. Nevertheless, so great and marvelous were the words which he prayed that they cannot be written, neither can they be uttered by any man. You know, I don't want to give the impression or anything. This is such a phenomenal account of something that was done there, and at least in the records that we have at this point, we don't see that it's ever happened like that again. But it was this event that happened that was marvelous, and that it touched every single one of them. And you know, and I thought about that. You know, why do we have a season of prayer? And that's really what the Lord was asking them to do. Everybody begin to pour out your heart. What was the significance of Christ praying aloud for the people? I'm here to tell you that, you know, when we've come in season of prayer, and I'm sure many of you have felt like it, that, you know, there's something to hearing a brother or a sister offer up a petition to the Lord for me. There's some connection. There's something that comes there. It's a shared burden that you feel. I struggle sometimes when we have a season of prayer and two or three people pray. I'm not saying you don't pray in your hearts. I'm not saying that. But I also recognize that Christ, later on, he says, you've heard that I prayed in your midst. You heard what I did. You will do what I do. Is there some significance to those things? He'd already taught them how to pray. It was before that. It was in chapter 5. And yet he did it so that they could do it. They could be there together. They were all lifting up their hearts and their prayers and their voices to the Lord. And it says that what we heard the Lord say to his Father for us, you can't even conceive of how we felt when the Lord prayed for us. There's got to be a significance to those things. You know, why would we be commanded to do these things? Why is that the example that Christ gave? So when we kneel down in a season of prayer, are we considering these things? Do we consider that example? You know, what effect did it have on those that heard? It says that the eye has never seen, neither hath the ear heard, so great and marvelous things that we heard spoken. And it says, no one can conceive of the joy that filled our souls when we heard Him pray for us unto the Father. There's something that happens there. And I believe it happens even now, that when we come before the Lord and we begin to petition Him in earnestness, with faith, when we begin to petition Him with real intent for those around us, there is a connection that happens. That our hearts and our minds are joined together, and we're strengthened and we're renewed and we're encouraged, and there is a fellowship that happens, and it's important. So why do we pray? All right, I have a couple of people who are going to share some testimonies tonight, and I've asked them ahead of time, and so first up is going to be our brother Aaron, and I gave him his assignment, so I'm going to ask him to speak slowly because I know he speaks fast.
I actually have a couple. One, I have an ongoing prayer every day. I'm a superintendent there for the company I work for, and I always pray for wisdom, that I'll be able to run my jobs effectively, that I'll be able to do everything that I need to do and be a light for the Lord and everything that I do there for Him, that He would show me exactly what I need to accomplish and how to do everything. And He has been there for me every day so far for that. The other one is I have a couple guys who I work with that I just can't get through to them what they need to do. And it frustrates me to no end. And I have called my grandparents and my wife at many occasions and asked them to just pray for me. And I've said a quick prayer that while I'm dealing with them, that I would have a little peace and charity for them, that I'd be able to work with them, that I wouldn't want to yell and lose my mind and kick them off the job or whatever. But He's been there for me for that every single time as well, and helped me have peace and charity towards my fellow man.
We're unable to know what we're going to face every day. You know, the Lord might be preparing us for a trial even before it's begun to materialize. You know, and I hope this is something that we do, and that we're praying that the Lord will help to prepare our day so that no matter what it is, that He's going to be with us, you know. And that was exactly what I was hoping that Aaron was going to share there. But, you know, we pray every day because we live in a world of unknown. But we pray to and we believe in a God who is knowing and who can help us. And who can direct us, and who can give us the words at the right time. And I don't know if any of you are like me, that there are times when you have not prayed, where you have neglected this conversation with the Lord, and you walk into a day of failure. I've done it. You know, so that unravels a little more of the mystery in my mind. This mystery of prayer. Alma 16:22, it says, "Yea, when you don't cry unto the Lord, let your heart be full, drawn out in prayer to Him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you." You know, I've always considered and I've thought and I like this particular scripture because I found that I do that. You know, that oftentimes throughout my day I have this open prayer to the Lord. If I find a moment, I'm doing something, you know, I've got a little bit of time. You know, I used to do this when I was working. You know, I'd finish a call or something like that, and there's some time. And you know, I was trying to be in this place in my life where I was quick to just offer up my petition to the Lord for whatever it was. And I think that this is something that's important. Not that we have to, or that we can't think about the things of the world or about, when I say things of the world, you know, the stuff that we have to do every day or what's next on our agenda or all that. But, you know, are we looking for opportunity throughout our days to petition the Lord, if we recognize that He is able to help us and strengthen us for those things that we may not even understand yet, are we taking full advantage of this? And we have this amazing benefit in our relationship with the Lord, a Lord who hears. Are we truly taking advantage of it? Sister Kim?
Adam asked me to tell you about a time that I prayed for something that I didn't get what I wanted. I sound like a child with a temper tantrum when I say that, but we had an experience, Jim and I, that was difficult to manage emotionally. It was a couple years ago, and I prayed for a righteous vindication on Jim's behalf because I knew that he was in the right, and I knew that he had the right to be vindicated, and that the Lord in His righteousness saw this righteous situation and would bring it to a righteous end, which was the end that I wanted. And it did not. It came to an end that we did not expect, and it came to an end that we were kind of shocked and a little shattered over and have not understood, except to know that the Lord's hand is in everything and that He has a perfect plan. I want to give a second testimony too. It was a little bit different, but it was a time when prayer was not answered the way I expected God to answer it. It was a reunion time, and it was probably 20 or 18 years ago, because Caitlin and Nathan were 8 years old, and I don't know why that sticks with me. But I felt this deep desire and this compelling to kneel beside my bed and pray. Jim was off with the young people at their activity, and Caitlin and Nathan were settled on the floor in the living room watching a movie. And so I knelt in prayer. And at that time, Jim and I were praying about whether we should move to go and support the Boise, Idaho local, because he had a dream, and we thought that that was what we were going to do. And I prayed about that, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed the scripture, let the words of the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I prayed and prayed that, and I just knew that the Lord was going to give us an answer about moving to Idaho. And I heard a voice that said to me, pray for the desire of your heart. Well, I thought I'd prayed to know, are we going to move to Idaho? Show me the way, open this up. And evidently that wasn't what was the desire in my heart, so I prayed about something else. And then I heard that voice say to me again, pray for the desire of your heart. And I prayed again, and I dug a little deeper on something that was bothering me. And then I heard a third time, pray for the desire of your heart. And I didn't even know at that point what to pray. And I quieted myself, and I began to pray for Jim. And the next day, the Lord used him for something to speak to people. And I wanted to know about moving and being somewhere else. And I was directed to pray in a completely different direction. So those are my experiences.
Thank you. You know, this is one of these things, is we only have our own wisdom to draw on. You know, this is the sincere effort we have to do, is that when we begin approaching the Lord, that we need to, it's not just asking for His will to be done, it's looking for Him to work, giving Him the opportunity to move and to change the way that you think and the way that you feel, and even to not change an outcome, especially if it's not the way or the direction or the method that we've wanted or that we've considered or that we're comfortable with. You know, we read this scripture all the time, but I love this scripture. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I take comfort in this scripture, because it means that my weak understanding is not the standard, and it's not the mark. And then the struggle is that it also shouldn't be my expectation. You know, this is something that perhaps we don't consider enough, is that we do serve a God who is able to see everything way out there, when I can only see the struggles that's right in front of me. And if I were to have been the keeper of my own destiny, if you will, I can't imagine what a mess my life would have been. And yet instead, because my understanding of my desires weren't the standard, it wasn't the mark, and it wasn't what the ultimate thing was going to be, because there's a God who does it so much better. You know, my life's not perfect and it's not always comfortable, but it is so, so blessed. You know, so we should pray for that when we face these trials and things. You know, I appreciate the experience Kim had when it was the Lord was encouraging her to dig deeper. Do we pour out our hearts to the Lord? You know, the scriptures talk about this, you know, as you go into your closet and you pour out your hearts. What does that mean? Do we take time to just find a place alone and search out and speak about all of those things that are in our heart and lay it before the one whose thoughts aren't ours and who is able to work and to move? If you aren't doing that, you are missing. You are missing something from the Lord, and something that was so important that we have been encouraged over and over and over again to do and to take seriously, because we have a God who cares. How should we view this mystery of prayer? 1 John 5 and 14, it says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we shall have the petitions that we desire of him." 3 Nephi 9 and 23, Christ says, "Now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all they which shall believe on their words, that they shall believe." Oh, I typed these in. I typed this instead of cutting and pasting. I'm right there. "Now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all they that shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, and that we may be one." Romans 8, 26, 27, and 28, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose." Christ says in John 17 and 9, he says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Verse 15, "I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from evil." Christ, who stands at the right hand of God, who has access to the Father, he gave himself for us. He's there on our behalf. How should we view this mystery of prayer? We have someone in our corner. We are able to offer up what is on our heart and know that the Spirit that understands perfectly is the one who transmits and speaks about and petitions the Lord on those on our behalf. That we can pour out our heart and not worry about what we say or what we think being wrong or whatever it is. You know, because we have one who is able to consider all of those things and who is able to bless us in that right way. So when we, you know, how should we consider this mystery of prayer? You know, we can have it in confidence. Not that everything that I want is going to be answered, but it is heard, it is considered. Our cause is considered by the Lord. 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, he began to pray, not just for those people who were alive at that time, but for those who would hear their words and who would come before the Lord in the years to come. You know, Christ prayed for you this day. Take note of what he considers of importance in all these things. It's the spiritual things. And you know, I don't find a place in Scripture where Christ is praying for someone and asks that they have a good job. Didn't ask his Father for that. It wasn't what was important. It's a struggle for us sometimes, but you know, part of, I think, having this true prayer and this true interaction with the Lord is recognizing that He's doing things and He's willing to work and move in a way that would draw us unto Him eternally. And not just to give us comfort and peace for the moment, or the job that we want, or the spouse that we want, or for any of those things. We separate ourselves from those things. Where is it that we find ourselves troubled? This is something, I thought I did these in bullet points, but I didn't. We find ourselves troubled when our expectations aren't met. So where are we at here? 3 Nephi chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And it came to pass that in the commencement of the 92nd year, behold, the prophecies of the prophets began to be fulfilled more fully. For there began to be greater signs and greater miracles wrought among the people. But there were some which began to say that the time was past for the words to be fulfilled which were spoken by Samuel the Lamanite. They began to rejoice over their brethren, saying, behold, the time is past, and the words of Samuel are not fulfilled. Therefore your joy and your faith concerning this thing hath been vain. And it came to pass that they did make a great uproar throughout the land. And the people which believed began to be very sorrowful, lest by any means those things which had been spoken might not come to pass. But behold, they did steadfastly watch for that day and that night and that day, which should be as one day, as if there were no night, that they might know that their faith had not been vain. 2 Peter 3 and 3, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, what's the point of these two scriptures? It's not necessarily talking about prayer, but what is it? It's what happens when your expectation is not met. This is really, I find, where we find ourselves troubled, and the greatest mystery in prayer is when we're asking and our expectations are not met by the Lord. We don't hear an answer. We feel like it's silent. We find ourselves troubled because our expectations are not met. The promises that we read in Scripture where the Lord says, if you pray, I will hear you and I will answer, it hasn't come yet. And this is the difficulty and really the trial of our faith. So how do we take a look at these things? I've asked Debbie Brown if she would share a testimony.
Well, this whole thing about prayer, I can tell you right now that there is nothing in my life that has not happened by prayer, coupled in my adult life with fasting. Those two things together have changed my life, and I could keep you here all day telling you about the really marvelous experiences that have saved my heart, my mind, and my body several times. But one thing I always wanted was a lot of children. And when I get older, before Andy and I married, we went to our doctor and we talked about different things. And he had told me, I was very disturbed, and he didn't think I was going to be able to bear children. And that really bothered me. My sister had many problems. My mother had problems. But Andy had told me he really didn't want any children, so he was perfectly happy with that. I, however, was not. And I think that the Lord knows in our hearts about things, and He, through marvelous circumstances, gave me two fine sons that have brought much joy to our heart. But I have to admit, there's this little thing called jealousy in all of us. Sometimes it comes out and sometimes it doesn't, but this may sound strange. You may understand why I have adopted so many daughters. But I always wanted girls as well as boys. I'd like to have had 4 or 5 kids, and you know, as long as I had some sons and daughters, I was happy. But as time went on and that didn't happen, and I just had my boys, and anyway, sometimes the Lord speaks to us in prayer and in our expectations and bringing us a little touch of reality. And this is what happened when morning we were having services and there was preaching going on, and you know, 3 different people raised their hands and they said, I need administration. And so before we continued with the preaching, we all got down on our knees, and as I was bowing my head in prayer, there were 3 young ladies that went forward for a blessing from the Lord. And as I knelt my head in prayer, just totally asking the Lord, I love these ladies. And I said, Lord, please bless them for their needs. And then my mind starts wandering. How come I didn't have girls? How come I don't have any daughters? And the Lord literally, I mean, I felt like I was almost confined, just squeezed. It was just a little bit of ungratefulness at my part. And the Lord said, I have given you many daughters. And it was like, you ungrateful wretch. I mean, and the Lord, it was just this quiet little voice to me. And from that moment, my heart kind of burst free. And I saw how rich I really was. And also, a little message was given to me for each of these young ladies, and I went to them in love and gave them hugs and told them what the Lord had told me. And sometimes in our expectations, I think that the Lord is gentle with us, and other times he has to be a little more forceful because he knows what is best. We think we need something, we think we want something or should have something, and the Lord provides the things for us that he knows that we need and can deal with. For that, I'm ever grateful.
Thank you. And this is oftentimes where we find ourselves troubled. When there's something that we want or something that's good. We pray about it. We've prayed and prayed and prayed, and yet we don't find an answer. And it can be a struggle for us. This time of waiting, continuing to petition, asking the Lord and wondering, are you hearing me? Does it matter? Are you getting tired of me yet? I want to think about that. It doesn't appear to me that all of Christ's prayers were answered as he expected or desired. I don't want to offend anybody with my statements here. Follow what I'm saying here. 3 Nephi 8 and 15 and 16 came to pass that when they knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and said, Father, I'm troubled because of the wickedness of the house of Israel. And when he said these words, he knelt down upon the earth and prayed unto the Father. And we know this, and things he prayed cannot be written. You know, what did he pray for? Who was he praying for? He's praying for the house of Israel. He was praying for the people who were there and the people in the future, praying that they would believe in him, praying all of these things. And yet, to this day, we still haven't seen that fulfilled, have we? Luke 22, 41, 42, and 43, when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel from heaven, strengthening him. What was it that he really wanted? We may focus on thy will be done, but that wasn't what the Lord was asking. He was willing to give his self over to what the Lord's will was, but what he wanted was to not go through those things. You know, were those words part of his desire, his request, or was it an acknowledgement? That we have to acknowledge that we may not necessarily want something to be the way the Lord wants, but we need to give him the opportunity. But you know, what's my point here? My point here is that it doesn't appear to me that Christ always got what he prayed for at that time, at that moment. I don't want you to be offended by that statement. I want you to think about it. This scripture, we have a scripture that tells us that what we ask that is right will be given. I'm not trying to say that Christ's request was wrong to not have to give his life, but it wasn't expedient. It wasn't right for the purpose or for the time or for the necessity that was there, which is why his father didn't just take it from him, and rather he strengthened him to go through it. Some may disagree with me the way I'm looking at this. I'm more than happy to talk with you about it. But you know, if we look at it, we recognize this thing that Christ poured out his heart about all sorts of things. And yet not everything happened the way that he asked his Father to have it happen. But his prayers were answered. He clearly is our example and all that. So what do we take from that? How should we feel about a yet-to-be-answered prayer? You know, I've had people tell me, we've been praying for you and for your situation for so long, and we're wondering, how long is this going to go on for? Is the Lord not hearing what's going on? You know, how are we supposed to feel about a yet-to-be-answered prayer? You know, we look at the parables here that we're going to read, and what it tells me is that the Lord does not get tired of us continuing to lift something up. In fact, He rather commands us to do it. That we continue to petition Him for days or weeks or months or years for that thing that is on our heart, that is a need that we have, for whatever it is, considering all the things we've looked at throughout this study here about what is right, about what the Lord wants and all, but we don't give up because He's not bothered by it. Luke 11, I'm going to read 5 through 13. It says, "He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey. Come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And from within he shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Because his friend is going to continue asking him, and their friendship and the need will be enough that this man is going to get up out of bed and give him what he needs. "I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given, and seek, and you shall find, and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Or ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Luke 18, and we're going to read a couple of verses here, but this is interesting. "Christ spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And in my typical way, I stopped here and defined a word. They're not to faint. To be bad or weak, that is by implication to fail in heart, to faint or to be weary. So Christ is speaking a parable, and he says, to this end, this is why I'm telling you this, that you always pray, you don't get weary in it, you don't fail. Even if it takes a while, even if it seems like there is no answer that is coming. "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry by day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of the Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" This is an interesting parable, and I don't know that I completely understand every part of it clearly. But what I understand here is kind of a tendency for us, is oftentimes we recognize that in life a squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? We used to do that all the time in the police department. Somebody would ask something that... they keep complaining and keep complaining and keep complaining that the guy down the street keeps putting his garbage can, you know, halfway in my driveway, until finally we're like, would you guys just go over there and tell him to move his garbage can? Yeah, it's a waste of our time. I understand that. We go over and ask the guy, would you just move your garbage can over a little bit? Because we get tired of being bothered by it. And this is some of the tendency, but it says here, it says, should not God, says, should he not do these things for his own elect? Should he not hear the petitions that are continually lifted up for his own people, who he loves, who he gave his son for, who he wants to see their eternal happiness and salvation? Will he not listen to their petitions when they continue crying unto him night and day? He loves them, so he would do it, so he will listen. You know, even though this judge, who wasn't a good man, he just got tired of hearing that widow, he answered. How much more will a man who loves the person who is petitioning them be willing to answer? He said, I don't know that I have the best explanation for that, but as I read that, I consider that when Christ begins that by saying, you need to always pray and not faint. How would I like to close this? I wish I had a perfect, eye-opening, and fully understood answer to this mystery of prayer and how it works and how we have our prayers always answered and all those things. I don't know. But what I do hold to is I consider this commandment of prayer. in all of its aspects, in its fulfillments and its uncertainties. What is it that I have to hold to? I have to hold to some of these things. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord might have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And I should have bolded this, but the Lord is faithful. You know, I have to hold to this in my life. I have to hold to this as I consider the needs of Amy, as I see the needs my family has, as I consider all of these things, as I ask the Lord to help those of our brothers and sisters who are growing older and less able and all that. You know, it's hard. And what do I have to hold to? The Lord is faithful. He knows how to bless His people. Now, there isn't a prayer that goes unheard or unanswered, and that we should not faint. Because the Lord knows what He's doing. He doesn't have to measure up to my expectation, because my expectation is beneath Him. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it. He knows how to bring you to Him. And He is faithful, who will also do it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it. You know, that word temptation, it's not exactly what we think it is. That word, it's a putting to a proof. It's an experiment. It's an experience. By implication, any adversity. Not just the temptation to sin or anything like that, but a body that's not working right. But a need for a job or a whatever it is, those things, it's common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow us to be destroyed by that if we will look to Him for the way to escape. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so, you know, I want to encourage us. I don't know that I've answered any questions tonight, or that I've done anything more than run through the ramblings and things that have been going on in my mind this last week. But maybe you think about, and maybe you're going to consider this a little bit more. That what is it that do we take this for granted? Are we taking advantage of the Lord in the time, in the things that He has done, that He can interact with us? Are we diligently seeking Him? We ask Him every day to help us for whatever challenge is going to be in front of us. Are we asking that we would see things through His eyes and not our own? Are we praying for things and not being weary, even though the answer might be a long way off? So we need to pray always. Pray in our church. You know, I hope that some of the trend I've seen sometimes, you know, I realize that we ebb and flow spiritually. I realize that, as I do too. I hope that when we have an opportunity to petition the Lord as a group of people, that you consider the scriptures that I brought tonight about when Christ was with the people, that you consider that there is something there. This shared connection when we lift up our voices together to the Lord, when we hear others petitioning the Lord on our behalf. And we take advantage of that time to be together in unity. I hope that you're praying in your families, that you are you know, a couple months ago we did a parents retreat, and I probably already talked about this before, but you know, in my particular portion of it, I spent, you know, all of my time on a slideshow that was showing statistics about why kids have left the church. And one of those big ones was, is when they don't see that God is working in the lives of their parents and they don't hear it, they're less likely to take it up themselves. Are you praying in your families? Are you sharing with your children? Are you sharing with those around you what God has done? Not just waiting for a testimony service. Are you texting someone and saying, I want to tell you this awesome thing. Lord, answer my prayer today. You know, are we encouraging each other like that? You know, are we encouraging each other and are we cheering each other on? I'm praying for you in your trial, and I know God can help you because He's done it for me. Pray in your hearts. You know, you go through this week, you go and you have an opportunity. There's a pause at work. Take a moment to ask the Lord to be with you. Thank Him for something. Be patient with the Lord. One thing I've been praying a lot is I've been asking the Lord to be patient with me, but help me to be patient with Him. Because I want the solution to my problems yesterday. You know, I want a year ago. I want those things, but I have to be patient with the Lord because I know that He's hearing our prayers. I believe that. I've seen too much evidence in my life and the lives of others to feel any other way. Be diligent. Don't get discouraged. Though we have to continue praying long and for days and weeks and months at a time, don't get discouraged. We have a God who hears. Be led in your prayers. We don't know what to pray as we ought to, so ask the Lord to help you in the way that you're thinking. Ask Him to lead you in those things. You know, that's this interaction that we can have with the Lord in prayer. Be faithful. Be expecting our faithful God to hear and answer. You know, my Uncle Joel has been such an encouragement to me this last year. He tells me this all the time. God is faithful. Never let me down. And when things are difficult and you feel the discouragement, you wonder if the Lord's ever going to answer. You wonder, what is this mystery of prayer? Does it even matter anymore? Remember, we serve a faithful God. He's faithful when we aren't. He's faithful to hear and to answer. And so I want to encourage us. I want to encourage you that we look at this thing, this concept, this whatever prayer is, you know, that we can approach the one who created all things and we can leave nothing out and put it all before Him. And He promises that He will hear us and that He will bless us in it. So consider that. I would ask, and I appreciate so much your time and your attention and for your prayers on my behalf. I don't know what I would do. And I thank the Lord for His mercy and His love, and I hope that you have found some encouragement tonight. Thank you very much for your time.